He's one of the church's most erudite saints who died for his devotion to the church's teachings and for his loyalty to the Pope in Rome. 16th century Englishman Sir Thomas More was a lawyer, intellectual, author, and statesman, beatified in the 19th century and finally canonized in the 20th. Jill Bevilacqua tells us more about him.
The man who has been called England's greatest Catholic martyr, and whose feast day is celebrated by both Catholics and Anglicans, Thomas More, born in 1478 and put to death in 1535, was a highly successful lawyer, and consequently a man who knew how to use words. Cardinal Wolsey, whom More later succeeded as Lord Chancellor of England, recommended him to be Speaker of the House of Commons. Of his writings, it was More's Utopia, a description in Latin of an ideal state, published in 1516, which was to become the best known. It was also the first work of the Renaissance in England to become known all over Catholic Europe. And its title contributed a new word to the language. A lesser-known work, but for some the finest thing More ever wrote, was his History of King Richard III, unfinished and not published in his lifetime. The familiar story of the murder of the little princes in the Tower is followed by a vivid picture of the state of mind of the usurper king, who, as we know, also came to a bad end on Bosworth Field.
I have heard by credible report of such as were secret with his chamberers that after this abominable deed done, he never had quiet in his mind, he never thought himself sure. Where he went abroad, his eyes whirled about, his body privily fenced, his hand ever on his dagger, his countenance and manner like one, always ready to strike again. He took ill rest o' nights, lay long waking and musing, sore wearied with care and watch, rather slumbered than slept, troubled with fearful dreams. Suddenly sometimes start up, leap out of his bed and run about the chamber. So was his restless heart continually tossed and tumbled with the tedious impression and stormy remembrance of his abominable deed.
In A Meditation on Death, The Four Last Things, never published, More comments wryly on those who are busier on their deathbed with thoughts of a stylish funeral than the state of their souls.
So many torches, so many tapers, so many black gowns, so many merry mourners laughing under black hoods, and a gay hearse, with the delight of goodly and honourable funerals, in which the foolish sick man is sometimes occupied as though he thought that he should stand in a window and see how worshipfully he shall be brought to church.
Thomas More was a very witty man, and even when writing of serious things, his humour frequently surfaces. When describing the last moments of a dying man, he reminds us what it's like, when you're feeling very sick, to have people ask questions and want answers.
Will it not be, as I was about to say, a pleasant thing to see before thine eyes and hear at thine ear a rabble of fleshly friends, or rather of fleshly flies, skipping about thy bed and thy sick body like ravens about thy corpse, now almost carrion, crying to thee on every side, "What shall I have? What shall I have?" Then shall come thy children and cry for their parts. Then shall come thy sweet wife, and wherein thine health haply she spake thee not one sweet word in 6 weeks, now shall she call thee sweet husband, and weep with much work, and ask thee what shall she have. Then shall thine executors ask for the keys, and ask what money is owing thee, ask what substance thou hast, and ask where thy money lieth. And while thou liest in that case, their words shall be so tedious that thou wilt wish all that they ask for upon a red fire, so thou mightest lie 1/2 hour in rest.
But More did treat of serious things very seriously. When Martin Luther attacked Henry VIII in a vitriolic tract, someone had to answer for the king. More wrote his response to Luther in Latin, unsigned and using very strong language. Then in 1529 came his great Dialogue Concerning Heresies, written in English, a defence of the old faith on the eve of England's break with Rome. Thomas More was committed to the Tower of London in the April of 1534, after refusing to swear to the Act of Succession, which declared Henry's first marriage null, his second valid, and marriage subject to secular law. In the time left him, before he was beheaded in July 1535, More composed a number of spiritual works, among which his Dialogue of Comfort Against Tribulation shines out brightly.
Let one choose himself some secret solitary place in his own house, as far from noise and company as he conveniently can, and hither let him sometimes secretly resort alone. There let him open his heart to God.
More was a man writing in prison, and a powerful part of this work presents God as a jailer and life on earth as the prison he has placed us in.
So sure and so subtly builded, that albeit that it lieth open on every side, without any wall in the world, yet wander we never so far about therein. The way to get out shall we never find. Upon our prison we build our prison, we garnish it with gold and make it glorious. In this prison they buy and sell, in this prison they brawl and chide, in this they run together and fight, in this they dice, in this they card, in this they pipe and revel, in this they sing and dance. In this prison many a man reputed right honest ceases not for his pleasure in the dark privately to play the knave.
But even in this circumstance, More finds room for jest. In this next extract, he's having a quiet dig at Dame Alice, his second wife. He is talking of a woman who berates her husband because he has no ambition.
What would you do that you care not to put forth yourself as other folk do? Will you sit still by the fire and make goslings in the ashes with a stick as children do? Would God I were a man, and look what I would do. Why, wife, her husband said, what would you do? What? By God, go forward with the best, for as my mother used to say, God have mercy on her soul, it is ever more better to rule than be ruled. And therefore, by God, I would not, I warrant you, be so foolish to be ruled where I might rule. By my truth, wife, said her husband, in this I dare say you say truth, for I never found you willing to be ruled yet.
Before his imprisonment, More had begun a work known as The Treatise on the Passion. He continued this meditation in his last great work, De Tristitia Christi, On the Sadness of Christ, where the scene is the agony in the garden. Written in Latin, it was translated by his granddaughter into English, but the original manuscript in More's handwriting was only discovered in 1963 in Valencia, Spain. Here, More puts these words on the lips of Christ.
What, though thou be fearful, sorry, and weary, and standest in great dread of most painful torments, be of good comfort, for I myself have vanquished the whole world, and yet felt I far more fear, sorrow, weariness, and much more inward anguish too, when I considered my most bitter, painful passion to press so fast upon me. But thou now, O timorous and weak, silly sheep, think it sufficient for thee only to walk after me, which am thy shepherd and governor, and so mistrust thyself and put thy trust in me. Take hold on the hem of my garment, therefore. From thence thou shalt receive such strength and relief to proceed.
And so More did proceed, and in his last days wrote this prayer in the margins of a Latin book of hours, which can be seen today in the rare book library of Yale University.
Give me thy grace, good Lord, to set the world at naught, to set my mind fast upon thee, and not to hang upon the blast of men's mouths, to be content to be solitary, not to long for worldly company. little and little utterly to cast off the world, and rid my mind of all the business thereof. Not to long to hear of any worldly things, but that the hearing of worldly fantasies may be to me displeasant. Gladly to be thinking of God, piteously to call for his help, to lean upon the comfort of God, busily to labor to love him. To know my own vileness and wretchedness, to humble and meeken myself under the mighty hand of God, to bewail my sins past, for the purging of them patiently to suffer adversity. Gladly to bear my purgatory here, to be joyful of tribulations, to walk the narrow way that leadeth to life, to bear the cross with Christ, to have the last thing in remembrance, to have ever afore mine eye my death that is ever at hand.
Thanks there to Jill Bevilacqua for that program from her series on Catholic writers, The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword. Well, on October 31st in the year 2000, Pope John Paul II declared Thomas More patron saint of statesmen and politicians, remarking on what he called the witness which he bore, even at the price of his life, to the primacy of truth over power. The Holy Father noted that More's life and martyrdom were rooted in holiness, saying his profound detachment from honors and wealth, his serene and joyful humility, his balanced knowledge of human nature and of the vanity of success, his certainty of judgment rooted in faith, these all gave him that confident inner strength that sustained him in adversity and in the face of death. His sanctity shone forth in his martyrdom, but it had been prepared by an entire life of work devoted to God and neighbor.